Welcome back, everybody, to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. This is episode 34. My name is Chris. I am your host. And with me tonight, as always, are Dean.
Tillamook cheese. Good for the brains, good for the bones.
Dan.
I got nothing to follow that up. Hi.
And unfortunately, Tiff will not be with us this evening, for she has fallen ill. She has a sickness that can only be cured by Def Jam Vendetta.
It's such a good game. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. Why do I want to play a game that has Method Man and Red Man and I've got just
Mega Man,
why?
Superman.
It has Mega Man? Oh my god, best game ever.
Method Man versus Mega Man.
I think that'd be
god,
a very
actually,
quick match.
I would totally play the shit out of that game. It's got to be on that Mugen thing, right? Somebody has to have made a Method Man. I'm sure.
There must be. Well, in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're discussing wrestling games today. Tonight is all about the wrestling. And as somebody who doesn't really know much about wrestling or likes wrestling all that much, I am the perfect person to host this podcast.
As someone who's not a real American.
No, I'm clearly a communist.
The WWE is going to be all over this fucking podcast.
WWE. I miss the WWF.
I miss the WWF too, and it was one letter further along.
Yeah, and then they regressed, and they had that whole, what was it, the World Wildlife Federation or something? Foundation.
The World Wildlife Foundation. They lost a goddamn lawsuit. It's so stupid.
And then
they lost it to wrestling animals.
They added like they turned it into like this whole promotional thing, like get the F out. It's like
yeah.
You guys are fucking lame.
Yeah, that was dumb. What is cool that came out of it though is you can get a WWF shirt that are two pandas like swinging steel chairs at each other.
That's awesome.
And that's pretty awesome. But other than that, WWE is shit, and everyone knows it. Like, the name.
But it's entertainment. Is it
it's,
are
no,
you not entertained?
Most of the time. But
actually, not anymore.
Yeah.
But that's a story,
for another show.
For another podcast, Jesus.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. But I guess we should start talking about video games and wrestling.
Yeah, let's jump right in. We've decided to go in chronological order of our releases for our favorite wrestling games. So I'm going to go first, and I am going to throw down. I'm going to start off with pro wrestling for the NES, not pro wrestling for the Sega Master System, which is really, really weird. Have you guys ever played pro wrestling on Master System?
For like 3 minutes, I couldn't figure out what the hell I was supposed to do, and I was really disappointed.
I mean, just to get this out of the way, the cover art is I think we may have even talked about this on the show at one point, the cover art, which is like a decapitated wrestler holding wrestler's head in a headlock with no body behind it, and that's the entire cover. The game was, let's see, according to the Wikipedia page... I shit you not. In Japan, the game is the home counterpart to the Sega arcade title Dump Matsumoto, released outside of Japan as Body Slam. Like the arcade game, it features female wrestler Dump Matsumoto and her stable Gokaku Dorme. In addition to having an entirely different all-female roster, the Japanese version also has a final hidden matchup against aliens on another planet.
Well, sure.
And that's all we're going to say about that game.
So weird.
Meanwhile, pro wrestling for the NES. I love this game so much. Like I said, I was never really into wrestling, but this game is so much fun to play. And I would actually argue that a lot of wrestling games, because even though I was not much of a wrestling fan, I've played a bunch of wrestling games over the years, and they're really fun. Like, the wrestling... pro wrestling, as it were, makes for a really great video game concept, and this NES one was just chock full of these super charming characters. It really reminded me of the kind of thing that would take place in the same universe as Punch-Out. Except
absolutely.
They're just not all racial stereotypes is all. They kind of are, but the Amazon? So, all right. This game, instead of featuring, like, one main protagonist, you get to choose from a bunch of different characters. You've got Kinkorn Karn, which is, like, this karate champ kind of guy. Starman, who wore all pink, like, in a pink mask with a big star on it, and he could do the somersault star kick thing. Fighter Hayabusa, who was, like, the lamest character, because he would do this like, dropkick-looking thing. I think it was called the back brain kick, and
yeah, it's an Enziguri kick, but I think they called it the back brain kick in the game.
Yeah, and it was like impossible to hit somebody with, and if you missed, you would just fall on the ground and lay there for a minute. Let's see, they had the Great Panther, who was like this, he kind of like Super Macho Man from Punch Out, except like really tan, kind of like he was in the later games. Like, blonde hair and really tan. Really, this guy was clearly supposed to be Hulk Hogan. King Slender, which is, like, the dumbest name for a wrestler ever. Because he wasn't really skinny.
No, he's totally Ric Flair, though.
Yeah, totally Ric Flair. And he did this awesome backbreaker move. It just looked so cool with the silly little sprites. And the coolest character in the game, the Amazon. Half piranha, half man. And he would do these. He did this like head bite move where he would just grab you and start gnawing on your forehead.
He would just bite the shit out of you, and the ref didn't care.
Yeah, no, and there was
like the ref. It was just, he just let it go
too. Yeah, he's just standing there blank. Like the ref has this Mega Man expression on his face. You know how Mega Man's got that soulless death stare on his face no matter what you do? Like the ref totally has that same soulless look on his face, like I am just going to watch this and let things happen. And
it's impressive.
It is. And he also did this thing with his claws, because like the Amazon was just, he was all green, like he had green skin and this weird like piranha dragon head thing on his head, or it was his head, who the hell knows, and he had these really long claws, and he would do this thing where he would get you in a headlock, and he'd just start pounding on you with his claws, and you'd get these little, like, red spots that would, like, pop out like you were bleeding. It was so totally awesome. Let's see, the basics of the game were you could run around, like, do a double tap, and you could run and do, like, clotheslines. You could climb up on the ropes and jump on people. You could throw people out of the ring, which was an awesome-looking blue rectangle that said, "Go fight," on it.
Very nice.
Very, very, very articulate. And this is all, like, what made it feel like it took place in the same universe as Punch-Out, because, you know, Punch-Out took place in the WVBA, the World Video Boxing Association. This took place in the VWA, the Video Wrestling Association. And it was really cool. Like these weird characters and the weird personalities they had, and it was so much fun to play with other people because it just turned into this button mashing fest where, you know, your characters would move around and you could like do punches and kicks and these other little moves, but it was really all about the grappling. Is you would get close and your two characters would grapple, and then you would both like press on the different buttons as fast as you can to see who would get to do something. And I'm pretty sure it was, if you were pressing B, you would just do a basic throw, where you would just pick up the guy and toss him on the mat. Or if you were pressing the A button and one of four directions, or three directions, it would do like one of your special moves. Like everybody had like, you know, some sort of suplex or one of their super special moves, like the star kick or the piranha bite thing that the Amazon did. And then it all culminated in a final match against the Great Puma, the perfect warrior. Who had, like, everybody's moves, and he would just, like, kick your ass, but he just looked like another wrestler.
Yeah, it was so cheap.
He was cheap as hell.
It was so cheap.
God, I love this game so much. So you had, like, it had a cameraman, like, he was always chilling outside of the ring, like, moving back and forth, like he was televising the whole thing. You had the soulless referee guy in the middle, and then you had these two other refs chilling in the background, like, watching from the side.
Almost like they were judges at like a boxing match or like a real fight.
Yeah, like it was so bizarre. But they're wearing like striped referee outfits and
yeah, it was very strange.
Japanese. The music is totally awesome. It just has this, weird. Like the song is weird because it's really kind of catchy and, you know, happy, and it's like It's two dudes beating the shit out of each other to this, like, it is, kinda happy little tune.
It is one of the best songs. If for my money, it is one of the best tracks that there is for, like, NES era gaming. It is so goddamn catchy. It's just excellent. There's actually there's a promotion, a wrestling promotion in New Jersey called Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and there's a guy who's wrestled for them a few times, and it's Starman. Like, he comes out in the pink and blue costume, the whole thing, and he walks to the ring to, like, the NES music, and he walks like the sprite walks, and he only does the moves that Starman could do. It's so awesome. Like, just YouTube Starman comes to PWS, and you will have such a goddamn smile on your face. It's so incredibly awesome. Because you're right, this game is not, by modern standards, certainly, it is not a good wrestling game. But for the time, it was perfect, right? It came out at a time when wrestling was still, quote-unquote, real. Like, Vince McMahon, the guy who's in charge of World Wrestling Entertainment, in 1989 came out and had to say in court, no, this is fake. They're performers. The whole thing is scripted. They talk to each other during the matches. And he had to do that to get around, like, some insurance or some shit like that. So, you know, even though my parents were like, you know, this shit is fake, right? You know, like, it was still real to me as, like, a six-year-old kid when this game came out.
Yeah,
and
the illusion
was
still there.
Yeah, the illusion was totally there.
Yeah, it wasn't just common knowledge. Like, kids could totally believe that this was like watching real superheroes just beating the crap out of each other.
And at that time, like, in the mid-80s and late-80s, in what was the WWF at that time, and WCW, and the NWA, and a lot of the different promotions.
I think you mean NWA. Like,
No, NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. NWO was the 90s. Come on, sir.
You mean not the other NWA?
See, I didn't know that there was another NWA. I thought you were talking about, like,
those guys with attitude?
No, certainly not. No, as much as I love those guys with attitude. No, the NWA was the National Wrestling Alliance. It was a bunch of little, like, territorial wrestling promotions that were all together, and Ric Flair was their champion, and WCW broke off. It's way more wrestling history than there needs to be. But, like, at that time, there was a lot of characters in wrestling. Like, now, they're guys, right? Like, the guys come out to their name. But back then, you came out to a character. So when you played pro wrestling, it was like, yeah, totally, this makes sense. There's an Amazon in this game. Well, there's, like, all this crazy shit going on in the WWF. There's a turkey named the Gobbledygooker that came out in Survivor Series. There's a... yeah, no shit, right? That's
the Gobbledygooker.
The Gobbledygooker made, like, two appearances.
How did I not get into wrestling when I was a kid?
I really don't know. Like, and you had the Goon, who was, like, he would come out in a hockey jersey, and, like, he was just a shitty hockey player turned wrestler. And, like, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, who was a trash man, like, and he came out with a garbage can to the ring. Like, there was all this awful, awful shit going on. So it totally made sense at the time where you would be like, yeah, this is totally real. I love this.
Yeah, I always wanted to see those guys. I would really love to see, and I've been saying it for years, because Next Level Games did just such an amazing job of reimagining Punch-Out on the Wii, and I've been saying forever that they need to do the same thing to pro wrestling. I would love to see these characters reimagined in that art style that they used for Punch-Out and just make a super amazing-looking, really fun wrestling game for the Wii U. I think it would be amazing. It's crazy to me that hasn't happened yet, because they're... You know, they're fully owned by Nintendo. They're just these silly-ass characters, and it could be so, so good.
Well, and it's not like people wouldn't buy it. There is such nostalgia for NES-era shit, and especially that game. Like, because you're right, Chris, you're not a guy who ever got into wrestling. You don't love it. You know of it, certainly, but you love that game. And you put that out as a $10 downloadable title, people would flip their shit.
Absolutely. I mean, that. I'm really curious to see how, like, Punch-Out just got released as a downloadable title on Wii U for $10, and I almost downloaded it, and I own the damn game, just for the convenience of not having to put the disc in there, because the game's, it's really good. And I would love to see, I mean, I would even pay more than $10 for this. I would pay retail.
Oh, sure.
If they, like, fleshed it out and added new characters, or even did some sort of weird cross-promotion with the WWE and threw some real wrestlers in there with these guys. Like, there's so many options for this just to make it a very fun wrestling game and really bring back the fun nature to it. Because I guess one of the things that really turned me off growing up with wrestling was when I really attempted to give it some kind of a chance, when wrestling games really started blowing up around, like, WWF Attitude and stuff, like, in the PlayStation era, was it was so mean. It became very mean-spirited from what I noticed. It was all about trash-talking and arrogance and being so full of oneself, and not in a fun way. Like, it didn't seem like they were doing it in any way other than just to be just macho posturing in a way that just kind of, it just really turned me off. Like, it just seemed mean. And
that was the mid 90s, late 90s, very aggressive,
the
very attitude.
Era.
Yeah. I mean, they call it the attitude era in wrestling. And now for me, like, as a dyed in the wool fan of this shit, an unabashed fan of this, of pro wrestling. I've been watching it for 30 years at this point. I'm certainly not going to stop. I love that era because the wrestling itself was so good. But you're right. For somebody who's not into it, there's a bunch of guys basically telling each other to blow each other week in and week out. And how is that going to bring a casual fan into the product? You know, now there's things out there now, like Chikara, that is based in Philadelphia now. It is a superhero storyline, but that is all Chikara is. Most of them are masked wrestlers that have these crazy personas, and it's a family show. Like, that is Chikara's big thing. It is just about family, and it's awesome. It's so fun.
I will say that there was one very brief window where I was entertained by wrestling. Growing up, one of my best friends was a gentleman named Greg, and he was really into pro wrestling. And it was during the time where there was, like, it was right before that era, because it was the time when WrestleMania the arcade game came out, which was absolutely ridiculous. I love that game so much. It's like Mortal Kombat style wrestling.
Oh, God.
Is so silly, but it was like, you know, Doink the Clown and
some weird
fat dude. I think his name was Kamala or something.
I don't remember if Kamala wasn't Bam Bam Bigelow in that
Bam
one.
Bam Bam Bigelow, The Undertaker,
Bret Hart was in that. Razor Ramon.
They had
Shawn Michaels.
Recognizing all these names that you're saying, but it was like he showed me, like, I was over his house and he was like, we're watching this, you know, I just want to watch this. And so I watched it with him, and I started to see the draw to it, and I never fully made it into it. Like, it just didn't stick, but I remember being entertained and kind of seeing this, like, this weird plot thing they had going on. Their characters were running around in the audience, and it was kind of sort of interesting, but it never, I don't know, it didn't grab me the way that pro wrestling did, or even the video games did, because the video games were, they were just fun to mash buttons and do that kind of stuff with. Like, I know which one you're talking about, Dan, and I know Dean's going a little bit further in the future, but I mean, I remember playing, you know, he was a Sega kid, Greg, so we would play, Genesis wrestling games, and I remember renting a couple other NES ones, and none of them were as cool as pro wrestling to me, just because it was so silly and poorly translated too. Because that's another thing, you can't mention pro wrestling without mentioning Winner Is You.
Winner Is You.
That's where the meme comes from. Because it's, I mean, my wife had been saying that for years, and I had no idea where it came from. It was like, it's from pro wrestling for NES. Winner is you. And it's just hilarious, and they're so happy when they win too.
Like, oh God, they're all about it.
They just like they're a little pose of them, and they put their arms up, and they're super happy. And it's like, you don't. That was one of the things that really put me off of pro wrestling, was that there didn't seem to be any like good winners. They were all poor winners. They were all like, yeah, you're goddamn right I won because I'm the fucking best, and like, you suck. You clearly are the worst thing ever because I fucking beat you. And I'm like, can't you just be happy you won? Like,
can't you just be a nice guy?
He's called John Cena and he exists.
Oh God, and he's the worst. Ugh. Tired of John Cena.
Another story for another time.
Another story for another time. But yeah.
Well, so, and the closest that you ever get, that I think, unless they really redo pro wrestling, which would, I would love for that to happen. I would, in day one, without question, I would play the shit out of that game. The closest thing that ever came to that, though, was Capcom had their Saturday Night Slam Masters. There's two of those that came out. And those were super fun. And like, still kind of that arcade experience, like NES Pro Wrestling, and lots of cool characters, and, you know, didn't really take itself too seriously.
What about Ultimate Muscle?
That game, like, not for nothing, that is a serious wrestling game. The story itself is bananas crazy.
Yeah, well, it's insanely Japanese, and actually the first muscle wrestling game came out before pro wrestling. That was the first wrestling game on NES. But I remember
and that one's not good.
No, I've never played it. I remember always wanting it because my sister and I used to collect the little muscle men.
Like, oh sure,
little 25-cent machines. We loved those little things to death.
I wish I still had them.
And I remember just years and years later, it came out on GameCube. And there was like a cartoon series running on like Saturday mornings.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that show and that video game are based on a Bubblegum Machine's characters?
Kanuki Man? It's based on a Japanese anime from the 80s.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, the toys were based on the anime that came first, right? Isn't that how that works? Like, there was an anime, and then they made those little toys, and the toys came over to America as Muscle. And then, like, they just...
And they came in trash cans for some goddamn reason.
Because they had extra Garbage Pail Kid trash cans lying around.
Well, those things were amazing, those little pink things. And then they started coming in different colors. And we had tons of those. Tons of them. And I remember when the GameCube game came out, I was like, wow, that looks a lot like... Holy crap, it is! That's all those characters from way back when I was a kid. And the game looked really cool. It was very colorful and But yeah, I heard it was a pretty serious, technically speaking, wrestling game. But
it was built on the same engine, the Aki engine, or AKI. I have no idea how you say it. It's a Japanese developer, but they did Def Jam Vendetta. They did the N64 wrestling titles. Like, it is a serious wrestling engine.
It's fucking for real,
for reals, yo. All right, well. Yeah, so that's my game, Pro Wrestling for NES. And we went off on several tangents there, so we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and do Dan and Dean's proper wrestling picks, because those two know a heck of a lot more about wrestling than I do. But I pray to the heavens that one day pro wrestling either gets revived in some way, shape, or form, or even just a virtual console release would make me happy. I love me some pro wrestling. That game is great, and not the Sega Master System game. Because what the hell? All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around. And we're back. And Dan may be drunk. Speaking of which, Dan, you're up. What is your favorite wrestling game of choice?
All right. Well, there's so many to choose from. And it really, like, I'm a WWE guy. Like, I have been my whole life. I wasn't, like, I watched WCW when I was a kid, but it was always WWE for me. And their games are good. And I know Dean is going to talk about one that is an excellent game. But for my money, the best wrestling series that you could possibly get into is Fire Pro Wrestling. Now, the thing about Fire Pro is that there's only been a few Fire Pro games that have been released in America. This series was huge in Japan for years before we got one. And the first one we got, the first Fire
Pro one, right?
Was Game Boy Advance in 2001, I think. And the series itself, the first Fire Pro Wrestling game, came out on the PC Engine in 1989, right? And stayed PC Engine for a while. It went to Super Famicom eventually, like Sega Mega Drive and stuff. And you got Super Fire Pro Wrestling and Super Fire Pro Wrestling X. And there was a Dreamcast one. And they're all excellent. But you had to import them.
This game came out on my birthday.
Did it?
The first release was Fire Pro Wrestling Combination Tag on June 22nd, 1989. Check that out.
I didn't even realize. I was looking right at it. I didn't even realize. That makes me a bad friend. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
But yeah, so like this game had been out in Japan for years and people loved it. Because the thing about Fire Pro Wrestling is that the graphics have never been the best. The presentation of the matches have never been the best, but the gameplay is the best wrestling game that you can possibly get, right? The WWE games that are out have really cool entrances and they have full motion video and they have like just all the really cool stuff that the wrestlers do when they come down to the ring, and it's awesome and we love that. In Fire Pro, Your animated sprite comes out and does like a little woohoo and then walks to the ring, right? Like that's really about it. But once you get into the ring, the gameplay is really deceptively simple. You walk towards your opponent and you have three buttons that you can use to strike or one button that you can use to run the ropes. When you get close enough to your opponent, you automatically lock up. There is no, like, press this button, press circle to grapple, or press X to grapple. You just start grappling your opponent, like, right from the get-go. And what I find really cool about it, is that it is set up very much like a Japanese-style wrestling match. Right? Japanese wrestling matches are very, very different from American wrestling matches. In a Japanese match, you will never see a wrestler pull out a quote-unquote signature or finisher move in the first 5 minutes of a match. It just doesn't happen. The storytelling has to start with weaker strikes and weaker moves, and it builds and builds kind of to a crescendo where they eventually put out, you know, five or six signature moves and then a big finisher move, and then the match is over. In American wrestling, it's not necessarily the case. You might have a guy come out, hit his finisher in 3 minutes, and the match is over. Same thing in this game. You have to start out with weak moves. If you go for a strong move in the beginning, it will get reversed every time. You will get your ass kicked. And it takes a while to learn. Because we're used to playing American games like the one you talked about, Chris, NES Pro Wrestling. You had to button mash the shit out of it to make sure you got your move off.
And
in Fire
to
Pro,
actually kind of go along with what you're saying, a similar thing happened in pro wrestling. If you tried to do your finishers at the beginning of the match, the other person's stamina was so high that you would never pull it off. You had to wear each other down.
Like, oh yeah, you had to take them down a little bit.
Like the star kick, first thing in the game, you had a very, unless the other person's not pressing anything, it would almost always get reversed. And what's
usually into a backdrop, I think, is what the NES one was.
It would, like, you would start doing something, they would like try to grab, and then the other person would grab instead, and it would like go to their animation, and it would be like you would have to wear the other person down in order to start pulling off those moves. And I think where that comes from is a little factoid I picked up earlier today, was that the game Pro Wrestling was designed by one dude, Masato Masuda, who was working for a development team called Try, which later became Human, which is the company behind the Fire Pro Wrestling series. And Masato Masuda worked on the Fire Pro Wrestling series.
Well, there
you
go.
So it actually has some roots in NES Pro Wrestling, which is why it's
nice.
It's similar to that in the way that I thought it was really interesting that you brought that up, that you would have to bring, you would have to build up to the finishing style moves, because the game, I remember learning that about the game. You know, my natural instinct when playing pro wrestling was, you know, just go for the haymaker straight away, and I would always get my ass kicked. And I learned you have to start, you know, punch them a couple of times, do some weak throws, tire them down. You know, once you've worn them down a bit, then you can start going for the haymakers, and then you can do some serious damage.
And Fire Pro is the same way. And that guy, Masuda, he actually just passed away like a year or two ago. Like, and super young, too. Yeah, he was like 48 or something. Like, I don't remember what it was from, but like, yeah, like it was really, like, really shocking and like really depressing, because like, Fire Pro Wrestling in Japan is a beloved fucking franchise. Like, this is a big deal. You know, we've had three or four games in America, and we're like, yeah, it's pretty cool. In Japan, this game is huge. It's just a massive game. So it was like a big, big deal that this guy passed away.
It had a re-release on the Xbox 360, didn't it?
Yeah, and that one is kind of terrible.
I've heard not good things about it.
It's kind of terrible because it did the thing that I really hate when Nintendo does it, and Nintendo does it better than anybody, but I still don't like it all that much. When they try to shoehorn the Miis into gameplay, that's what this Fire Pro was. Like, you had your Xbox avatar as a wrestler. And it really is. It's so douchey. But yeah, like, so in Fire Pro, you've got this really in-depth grappling system that's very, very realistic. And like, the weirdest thing that, like, the hardest thing for me as an American game player to get used to was the L button on the Game Boy, or the L1 button on the PlayStation, was your breathing button. And you have to make your character breathe. Like, whatever wrestler you're using, you have to kind of like take a breath every minute or so and like sit there. It's just this weird kind of pacing mechanic that's built in, but it works. It's interesting. It gives like a nice break into the gameplay. Like, it really makes sense and feels natural once you start doing it. But I think really the biggest selling point for this game is that Fire Pro never went out and licensed any wrestling organization. They never went out and got the license for WWE wrestlers or WCW or any of the Japanese companies like Pro Wrestling Noah or New Japan. But they made really, really, really close to those characters. Like, you're going through and you're like, there's Hulk Hogan, there's Sting, there's Masahiro Chono, there's, you know, Ultimo Dragon, there's Tiger Mask, there's all these guys. And they cover everybody. They cover Japanese strong style wrestlers, they cover Mexican luchador wrestling, they cover American style wrestling, and you can go in and edit every character and give them their real name. And the game ships. Like, there's one that you should get if you're interested in a wrestling game that's just really, really fun. It's on the PlayStation Store. It's $10. It's Fire Pro Wrestling Returns. The game comes with, like, 300 wrestlers and MMA fighters already put into it. And it has room for 500 created spots.
Sweet, like, Jesus. Well, isn't it more or less sprite-based, if I remember correctly? Isn't the PS2 one still kind of sprite-based?
It's totally sprite-based. But the character creation,
the PS2 one,
it's so in-depth that you can create, like, there are people right now that will put matches on YouTube of created wrestlers that are debuting in wrestling today, and the character creator in that game is so good that you can make an accurate depiction of that wrestler, give them their moveset, give them their names, and you can have them in the game. It's absolutely stunning. I mean, you've got 500 spots. You've got, like, over 1,000 moves that you can choose from to give your wrestlers. Like, it's just an insane level of depth. Man, and like the
when I worked at Game Crazy, God, I can't believe this. When I worked at Game Crazy, my one guy, Manny, he had the PS2 version, and he made all of us in Fire Pro Wrestling. I remember coming into work one day, and they're like, all right, here's you in Fire Pro Wrestling. I was like, what the? All right, that kind of looks like me.
All right.
I'm not that ripped, but, you know.
I'm not that, like, I'm ripped. I'm not that ripped.
Wait, Dan, you said I could make anyone?
Damn near anyone.
So I could make Brock Lesnar with his gigantic dildo knife on his chest?
Oh, absolutely.
Sweet.
Without a doubt.
So in.
Without a doubt. It is like, it's so insane. And the craziest part about it is that if you actually spend the time, you can set the computer AI to fight like the actual wrestler that you're basing it on.
Dan, you're missing the point. I just want the dildo knife on his chest.
No, sure. Dildo knife, absolutely. You can have that.
Okay.
Like, that's all you need. All
right, okay. I hope so.
If you go on YouTube and search for Fire Pro Wrestling Returns, you will watch computer matches of, like, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. And the wrestlers will fight like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. It is insane the level of customization that is in this game.
I have to take a
look. It's so good.
Just don't, like, do a Google search for dildo knife.
No, don't Google search dildo knife.
I was not even thinking of it.
Even if you do, like, dildo knife chest tattoo, you're probably not going to get what you want.
Did they ever tell you what one of my managers?
I'm excited for this segue. GameStop. That's amazing.
Yeah, one of my GameStop managers way back when was like, did you see Brock Lesnar in his debut MMA fight? I was like, yeah, I was a little underwhelmed. I mean, you know, he won, but he barely won. She's like, yeah, you know what my boyfriend calls him? And I was like, no, what? And she said, Cock Chestner. And I was like, no. And then I thought about it, and she's like, yeah, no, look at the tattoo on his chest. And he's so ripped and jacked that I guess when he got the tattoo, he wasn't that ripped and jacked. So the knife expanded, and it doesn't really look like a knife anymore. It looks like a phallus.
It doesn't. But you know what you call him to his face?
Sir.
Mr. Lesnar.
Mr. Lesnar.
Or sir. That's about it, because that guy will kill you without even thinking about it. He is a legit badass.
Yeah, actually, he's a really nice guy in person, but yes, on TV, he is a complete psychopath.
Yeah, he really is.
He does
yeah.
the crazy eye really well.
Yes, really yes, he does.
But yeah, man, I mean, Fire Pro Wrestling is, like, I don't say this lightly, it really is the only wrestling game you need to own. Like, the WWE games come out, and they're really fun, and the graphics are really pretty, and they're really, like, the graphics in Fire Pro are sprite-based. They don't look as good, like, without a doubt. The position of the ring in this game, it always, you're on a diamond angle, so you're always looking at it from one of the corners, and it's a little weird to get used to, because in the WWE games that we have now, they're very dynamic cameras with cool replays and all this other shit. And Fire Pro is just about the wrestling. It is about nothing else. I mean, they have crazy matches. They have landmine matches. They have barbed wire ring rope matches and steel cages. And one of the versions had an electrified cage and all this other shit.
I'm sorry. Landmine? That sounds fatal.
Do a search for Japanese deathmatch and you will see some fucked up shit.
I'm gonna pass.
Like, and it's not
Japanese
real.
Japanese deathmatch dildo knife.
Well, there's your show title. Goddamn. But, like, really, this is the only wrestling game, if you are serious about, like, playing a really solidly well-made wrestling game, this is the one. Fire Pro is so good. There's just nothing better. It's not going to wow you with its video. It's not going to wow you with its music, but you will play this game for as long as your PS3 works. You know what I mean? Like, it is just great.
Outstanding. Don't get any more thorough recommendations than that.
Yeah. Just avoid that Xbox 360 shit. Like, pretend it doesn't exist.
Already done. So, Dean, take us home. What is your wrestling game of choice?
Okay. I'm actually going to do two and just kind of split the difference in time between both of them because, really, to be honest, the first one that I'm going to mention doesn't need much of an explanation. It was sort of the exclamation point on, I guess, that generation of wrestling games, and that is No Mercy for the Nintendo 64. This was the sequel to WrestleMania 2000, I think it was called, for the Nintendo 64, and that game was good. There was some really solid stuff in it, but No Mercy went to the next level and just tightened it. Better graphics, more gameplay types, awesome career mode, and a character creation system that was second to none in that that generation. There was so much you could do. There were unlockable characters, and they even had a, a WWF-like shop where you can collect coins and by winning matches and story modes and stuff and unlock characters, weapons, alternate outfits and everything, and it was so much fun to play. I couldn't believe it. To be honest, the real reason I wanted that game, because I got it on the day it was released, was because in WrestleMania 2000, The Undertaker had his dead man get up still going on. In No Mercy, he did the American Badass get up, and that was probably one of the cooler versions of The Undertaker to me, was because he had that move called The Last Ride, and that was the coolest fucking thing to me ever, that you could powerbomb someone, but you'd pick them up, just that little extra, and then slam them down. And that was easily my favorite character, and the real reason I wanted the game as a kid. But I mean, just overall, it was so tight. The moves were awesome. The even the system for like fatigue and all that was great too. And if I'm not mistaken, that had a TLC mode. That could be SmackDown though.
No, you could use tables and ladders and chairs and all types of shit in that. Oh my. Like that, the coolest part about that game is that as far as the N64 is concerned, that is one of the best multiplayer games that was ever released on that system. Like it is, I would make the argument that it is up there with GoldenEye as far as multiplayer just fun that is to be had. We like in college, we played the shit out of No Mercy. Like, we would just set up a TV and an N64 in the common room and four controllers, and people would just come in and out all night and jump in for a match or two. And it was just one of the most fun times I've had playing video games in general was No Mercy.
And, I mean, the other thing is, just to go over some of the characters, this really had an A-plus list of characters. You know, you had normal people like The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Undertaker, Kane. Then you had your like intercontinental people like Eddie Guerrero. You had tag team partners, which, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, in that time they had some of the best tag teams around. You had Too Cool, which was in the game. You had the Dudley Boys, which, I mean, the 3D was the coolest fucking move ever. You had the Hardy Boys, which was awesome. I believe the Right to Censor was also in that game, which was something else. You had Taka Michinoku and, oh man, what the hell is that guy? His tag team partner, Funaki, I think his name was.
Funaki.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were Kai and Tai.
Yes, yes. And that was just such a dumb fucking
thing. Oh, God. And they would come out every week on the show, and it was so goddamn offensive. They would, like, cut the microphone like it was a bad Japanese dub, and they would be saying like shit for a minute or two, and over the loudspeaker they would just play "Indeed." it was so goddamn offensive.
It was ridiculous. But you know, on top of that, you had all the Degeneration X people, Road Dogg, Badass Billy Gunn, X-Pac. I said Triple H already, and then you had
China.
What was it?
China.
China. China was in it too. And, you know, then on top of that, you just had, like, the regular roster of people. Dean Malenko was in it. You had Ken Shamrock, Hardcore Holly. These were people that made that generation what it was. There wouldn't have been a WWF without them. And, I mean, this game just really encapsulated it all into to one video game that kind of capped off that generation. And I really, like, to be honest, I don't think I played a wrestling game after that. There was no need for it anymore. I didn't want to. I didn't want to spoil it until A couple years ago, well, probably more than a couple years now, there was a game that piqued my interest, and it was because it had the Macho Man Randy Savage in it. And you guys know how much I love the fucking Macho Man Randy Savage.
He's going into the Hall of Fame this year, Dean. Are you not excited?
I have a boner right now just because you mentioned it again. But the game that I'm talking about is WWE All-Stars, which I don't know if you got to play that, Dan, did you?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
And the reason it was so good was because it was ridiculous. Now, this is totally opposite from what No Mercy was, and this is probably the reason I enjoyed it so much, was because it was so over the top and so cool. If I get to play as Macho Man Randy Savage and I go on the top rope and I get to jump 20 feet into the air and then I land that elbow and it makes a shockwave, fuck yeah, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play the shit out of it till the disc doesn't read anymore. It was great. It was new school wrestlers versus old school wrestlers, and it really just jives so well. There was nothing wrong with that game. The mechanics worked well. It was fast-paced, but it didn't feel like the grapple took anything away from it either. Like, it didn't feel choppy because of the grappling. It was so smooth. And to be honest, I'm not sure why they can't make more wrestling games like that, because I feel what happens is, especially, you know, way back when, sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit. Wow. So if a character's like bounced against the ropes and you go to grab them, literally the action would stop because the game couldn't really connect what you were doing with the grappling and the running. So the character would stop and then grapple. And it didn't really ever change. I mean, even up until I think like WWE 12, I think was the last one I played just on a whim. And that still happened. In the WWE All-Stars game, it was just so smooth. Like, it worked, and everything was great. And I don't know if they used a different engine or whatever, but I love that game so much. And the roster in that one was good, too. You had Sheamus, John Cena, Randy Orton for the new guys, Rey Mysterio as well. And then you had Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts. I believe Superfly Jimmy Snuka was in that as well.
And wasn't Warrior in that one too?
Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, and his gorilla press in that game was amazing.
It's so insane.
Oh my god, it was so cool. And I can't say enough good things about that game. If you guys haven't played that and you still have a 360 lying around, pick it up, especially if you're a wrestling fan. It'll bring back so many nostalgic memories. And while it might not be, you know, worth a $60 investment, it's certainly worth whatever, you know, people are charging for it now. It's such a cool game and so much fun, especially a multiplayer game. And if you have an N64, there is no reason you shouldn't have No Mercy already. That game is so good. So freaking good.
Yeah, that WrestleMania All-Stars one was just like, everything about it is over the top. And it was like, it was a little off-putting at first, coming from semi-realistic based wrestling games to this, like the art style in that game, everyone is so huge. Like Macho Man's a little dude, or was a relatively little guy throughout most of his career. But in that game, he's just so massive and so wide. And like, just the character models are so insane in that game. But you're right, like that's a game that you can just pick up and play. You don't have to have an in-depth knowledge of like current storylines or who these guys are. You've got classic wrestlers and a bunch of dudes that, you know, were relatively popular now. Like you've got your John Cena, you've got Rey Mysterio, you've got CM Punk. But you can DDT the shit out of all of them with Jake the Snake Roberts, which is just a good time for anyone.
Exactly, yeah. That game really made me happy because it brought back what I love. So what the people I loved in wrestling, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the guys that are out now, but they don't hold the same place in my heart, and they never will, that, you know, Hulk, not so much Hulk Hogan, but the Randy Savage he's on such a pedestal for me that no one can ever take his place. People have come close, but there's really no one that can do that for me. Maybe The Undertaker, and I love The Undertaker so much. He's probably, well, was my favorite current wrestler. But, yeah, I don't think he'll be wrestling anymore.
Well, let's just put this out there. I mean, Stone Age Gamer says so. Macho Man Randy Savage, greatest wrestler of all time.
Oh, I second that.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, no problem.
There's really no argument against it. And if you're doubting our opinion, watch Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3.
All the best.
It is one of the greatest matches of all time.
Easily.
That dude was so insanely talented.
Well, they put...
So good.
Yeah, they put...
Honorable mention goes to Andre the Giant.
Oh, dude, Andre was...
He's a legend.
Phenomenal.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he was so cool. Like, Andre was... Especially as a kid. He was like 7'4". The guy had size 27 shoe. Like, holy shit. I can't even imagine what that must be like. You know, but... Nah, man, it's Randy Savage all the way.
Yeah, that guy was something else. And I mean, his ring talk is I for years, no one could come close to that. I'm pretty sure the only person who can really hold themselves in the ring like that is probably The Rock.
Well, yeah, I mean, The Rock is great. Jake the Snake Roberts cut great promos. Like, but Randy Savage is that guy is just on such a whole other level. I mean, dude, we could do a whole podcast just on Randy Savage alone.
The Savage Cast.
Amazing. The Savage Cast. I like it. Let's do it.
All right, next week, Randy Savage. yeah, Chris, that does it for me. Those two games are just fantastic, and again, those are probably, you know, my high points for wrestling games. Nothing will ever come close to how good those two games were in my head.
Understandable. I mean, just to throw in my two cents on that, I remember not a lot about wrestling games in general, but I can say that from the N64 era, I remember those games on the N64 in particular are freaking legendary as far as wrestling games are concerned. And it's a shame that THQ went under and that there's so many rights issues tied up, because I know people would really love a re-release on those. To be able to play them again, but
I would just love for Aki to make another wrestling game. I mean, that engine that they used was so good. It was such a solid wrestling engine, and like what Tiff was going to talk about tonight was Def Jam Vendetta, and the reason that Def Jam Vendetta exists is because WCW went out of business, so they sold off the rights to another wrestling game, and Aki was sitting there going, well, we've got this engine. What the hell are we going to do with it now? And they're like, well, EA wants to make a Def Jam game, I guess. And you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But if you actually play that game, it is a really solid wrestling title. Like, if you can get past all the crazy stuff of, like, having Method Man fight DMX or Red Man fight Funkmaster Flex, like, there's a really solid game built into that. And the sequels were weird, and they just took it to a whole, like, yeah, I know, that's a very strange statement to say. The sequels to Def Jam Vendetta were weird, but, like, they got rid of the ring, and they were, like, fighting outside and shit. It didn't really work, but that engine is so solid. It's so much fun to play.
They did change it quite a few times. The one game I remember, it was for the Xbox 360. I forget what it was called, but it was a Def Jam fighting game, and I remember I was like, oh, T.I.'s in this, okay. Oh, Young Jeezy's in this. This is interesting. And then, like, literally, I start beating the crap out of Young Jeezy, and then T.I.'s song comes on. Fire hydrants explode with fire. There's cars blowing up, and I'm like, what the fuck did I just do? I don't understand. And then he comes back, and, like, everything turns gray, and then everything explodes again. And I'm like, I don't... What? Why are...
It was a little weird.
It was like Michael Bay made a fighting game.
And there is no bigger condemnation than that. It's like Michael Bay made a fighting game, so, ugh.
All right, guys, before we wrap this up completely, I have to throw in my two cents about one more quote-unquote wrestling game, and that is Ringside from Rhythm Heaven Fever for the Wii. Rhythm Heaven Fever is an amazing, amazing, amazingly Japanese game. It's so Japanese and so bizarre and so wonderfully brilliant at the same time. And one of them, it's all rhythm games. It's just, you know, pressing at one or two buttons at the same time. and it's genius, but one of the coolest games in Rhythm Heaven Fever for the Wii is Ringside, where you are a sweaty luchador being interviewed by a tiny woman. And even in the American version, the majority of the words aren't exactly English. So you have to press... Your options are either pressing A twice, or pressing A and B at the same time. So if the reporter goes, "Wubba zibba dubba, that true?" You press A, and your wrestler just goes, "Ruh." If she says, "Whoa, you go, big guy," you press A twice, and he whips out this, like, huge bicep curl. Or if a cameraman comes up and says, "Now pose for the fans," and you press A and B, he goes, "Rah!" and strikes a, like, crazy flamboyant pose. But this luchador character, who is just jacked beyond belief and literally dripping with sweat the entire
time.
Yeah,
he's really sweaty.
Just oozing off, sweat.
Off-puttingly sweaty.
Oh, and he does it so dead seriously. And like, when you're doing the training thing in the beginning, your response is, "Bleh." And the response from the reporter is, "You're so eloquent and well-spoken." It's just amazing. YouTube, Rhythm Heaven Fever Wrestling, or Ringside. And then they did, it actually kind of turned into a little bit of a meme. There's a, Old Spice guy? He's on every TV
Terry
show.
Terry Crews.
Now. Yes, there's a Terry Crews version of it. Which is amazing.
Anything with Terry Crews is worth watching.
He's the host of a Millionaire in daytime right now.
I'm really glad I watched that sober earlier today.
Because it would have freaked you the hell out otherwise.
Like right now, if I watched that right now, I don't know what the hell I would do. Like,
I think you need to watch the Terry Crews one right now. I think as soon as we're done with this show, I'm going to send you a link, and it's going to make everyone really happy. But that was just, I had to throw that in. I couldn't talk about wrestling in video games and not mention Ringside, one of my favorite pieces of Rhythm Heaven Fever, which is one of my all-time favorite Wii games, without a doubt. It's just phenomenal. And with that, Dean, why don't you go ahead and do the thing, as it were.
For anything you want to check out, whether it be any of the videos Chris mentioned or any of the games that we were talking about, remember to check out the show notes. We will also have all our links to all the social stuff we do as well. And maybe we'll just have a link to that guy, those guys with attitude as well, because they're some funky, funky cats to keep things censored. So, remember, so you guys can check out the links. Remember to go into the show notes.
I've had a lot to drink this evening, but did anyone else follow that? Because I didn't. I'm going to lie.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Go out and enjoy some great wrestling games and beat the heck out of one another. And I don't remember what next week's topic is. Does anybody else remember what we decided next week's topic was going to be?
Cartoons.
Cartoons, yes. Tune in next week when we're going to discuss video game cartoons. Oh, that's going to be so ridiculous. I can't wait. All right, everybody. Have a great night, and see you next week.
Sorry, I didn't realize this beer I'm drinking is a 10.1% ABV beer, so I'm a little bit drunk already. I'm kind of like, I stood up and was like, I actually don't need any more beer. I'm going to have it because I already opened it, but there you have it. So
solid thinking, all right. Man.
I'm here for you.
Cool. And we are back. Dan may be drunk. I may be drunk since I didn't enunciate, so I'm going to say that one more time.
That's because, what's this guy's name again? The creator?
Masato Masuda.
Yeah, that's because Zero Brother Potato Potato is working on it.
Holy shit! Oh, I have had too much to drink for that to be acceptable, sir. How dare you? How very dare you?
Yes, Dean. His name was Tomato Tomato.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't even know where to go from that.